Hello, this is David Graham from England. You're listening to Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com.
You're with Web Talk at webtalkradio.com for the week of June 4th, 2004, and my name is Rob Greenley, and thank you for joining us from all over the planet. We keep you plugged into the latest net trends and some serious happenings online, don't we? And sorry,
except that it's not 2004.
It's 2005.
Yes.
It is. You're right. I don't know why I did that.
Time machine. It was a time machine.
Well, no, it was June 4, so I just transferred that to 2004. But I guess we went back in time, but now we're fast forward into the future.
Yeah, because that's not our mandate. We're into the future things. And
yes, I don't want anybody to think this is a repeat.
Well, that's true. That would be a big mistake.
You wonder who that voice is? Well, you know it by now. It's Mitch Radcliffe. Mitch Radcliffe is a blogger at radcliffeblog.com. Also, his newest endeavor, which is getting phenomenal feedback from all the big guys in the .com space, persuadio.com.
Well, I think it's more than the .com
space. Density.com is where people can try the free, simple mapping service.
Yes, but
Persuadio is doing quite well. Thank you very much.
Persuadio is the company. My Density is so fantastic because you can put in your URL, mm-hmm. and you can see everybody that links to you in sort of a sort of spiderwebby kind of.
Yes, and you can explore
thing.
It and click through. It's a browsing tool, a way to keep up on what's new
and for now, free
and to understand where you are.
Yes, yes. We are also a member of the techpodcast.com. website. It's actually a network of podcasts, and if it's tech, it's here is their tagline. And like I said, go check them out at techpodcast.com. And I also have an interview coming up at IT Conversations, and this coming week on Wednesday, I speak with Bob Cox, who's the founder of the Media Bloggers Association. And the following week, I'm going to speak with Todd Moffin, who is a technology journalist and podcaster for the CBC. That's the Canadian Broadcast Corporation. So go check out itconversations.com to see and listen to those interviews.
What is the tagline for the tech podcast, by the way?
If it's tech, it's here.
Okay, but here, as in I hear you.
Well, that's not how it's spelled, but that could be how it means.
It could be.
Hey, Mitch, we were talking before the show a little bit about Ewok. And
yes,
this is
we
a very smart Ewok. What is Ewok? Who is Ewok?
Ewok is our guinea pig.
Oh, and he's of the nice, sleek, elegant, short-haired variety.
Yes, rather than the floofy, plush variety.
No, I don't want this. He's a new member to the Radcliffe family.
Yes,
but now he's sort of gone digital a little bit. I mean, he's kind of
Last night he was sitting on my desk, and he noticed he started staring at the screen of my PC and then realized that he could affect the PC somehow. Maybe I'm reading too much into this, but guinea pigs do this thing called popcorning, which is they jump straight up in the air when they get excited. And so he got up on the keyboard and started jumping up in the air and landing on the keys.
What was he excited about?
And changing the channel on the Windows Media PC. And, you know, he was sitting there staring at it, and he'd look at it for a minute and he'd popcorn and
the channel
would channel. I don't know that he was actually trying to change the channel, but he really kind of enjoyed it.
Well, you know, he works with you in your office all day, right?
No, not all day.
Okay.
He was just visiting.
Just part of the day. Okay.
It was a meeting.
So yeah, it was a meeting, you know, and I had Ewok in, and we had a little call with, the staff. And yeah.
So Ewok was named after the character from Star Wars, right?
Star Wars, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, could have been.
How about that?
Yeah, how could that have possibly happened?
I don't know.
Mitch is married to a woman that actually is fanatical about Star Wars, and she's attractive, too.
So. Well, and Mitch is fanatical about it, too, I think, to a certain extent.
Probably not as much
right?
as his wife, right?
Well, no, I really enjoy it, but... Yeah, my wife is the one who is the fanatic.
So you went to the midnight first day.
I got the tickets. This is the kind of thing I do. You know, I get the tickets a month in advance so that she can go to her. You know, and she tells all her students at school that she's going to be up all night at the Star Wars premiere.
This is a good thing to share with young impressionable minds that it's okay to stay up till midnight.
Well,
it's okay to stay up until 4 or 5 in the morning if the party's worth it.
And I definitely feel left out because Dan and I haven't gone to Star Wars yet.
Haven't gone at all?
He's been asking
me
every
I've been
day.
To all the other ones. I just haven't been to the new one.
Well, yeah, I know. But you haven't gone at all?
I haven't gone at all.
Now, how can you call yourself a fanatic of any type?
I don't have anybody around me that actually wants to go see it.
He's fanatical about me.
With me.
And since I won't go see it with him, he won't go. Isn't that devotion?
Well,
That's devotion.
I am going to go one of these days.
Oh, traitor. Oh, so unfaithful. Speaking of unfaithful,
it's Padme.
Dave Slusher?
You know. I think.
Let's talk about what
that robs James Spader is Princess Amidala. You know, Padme.
No, it's actually Jennifer Gardner. Actually,
oh really? Okay.
Oh,
she'd look pretty good with those cinnamon bun ear things too.
I don't think I'd want that though.
So is she on your list? We've talked about the list before. It's the okay list for the married people.
Oh well, I think we're going off to deep end here.
This is not if it's tech, it's here.
Okay, Evil Genius Chronicles guy is great. I mean, he has that sort of Ira Glass kind of demeanor going. He's a podcaster.
Yeah.
But I haven't listened to him lately, Dave. Sorry. Is he kind of trouncing you a little bit?
Well, yeah, he kind of blog posted about my interview that I had with the CEO of Audible.com.
And by the way, as a
Don Katz.
Of disclosure, I work with Audible and they pay me. So, you know, whatever I'm about to say, just take with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I understand.
You're not a blatant marketing guy, though.
No, I'm not. I love Dave's show. And I think that he totally doesn't get the fact that other people can be excited and care about getting good content out into the world. And make a living.
What was his beef?
Well, he was basically, I think both of us, when we communicate about podcasting, we talk about kind of two different viewpoints on it. And that's sometimes what causes the conflict between us, because he has a tendency to look at it from the podcasting is giving the little guy a voice kind of thing. And he likes to listen to people that just get on there and talk about whatever. And
which is cool.
That's what gets him juiced up. And I guess what I get juiced up is when big broadcasters or networks start coming online and taking advantage of the distribution platform. And that's kind of what I talk about, in that there is a legacy in a history to downloadable media that goes back far beyond when podcasting started. And he just disagrees with that there is anything that happened prior to, you know, August of 2004 that has had an impact on podcasting coming into existence. So.
Yeah, well, and you know, I mean, to my point about his description of Audible is sort of like, you know, everybody sitting around smoking cigars deciding who gets in the elite club. Mm-hmm. And it's not really that at all. I mean, it's, you know, it's like a small bookstore. It's a very well-funded small bookstore, but they also had to, you know, build the first portable digital audio player and all
Amazing.
This other stuff.
Yeah.
And when you know, I mean – it was driven by a passion about getting great spoken word audio into the world. And that kind of passion is exactly the same kind of passion that somebody like Dave feels about podcasting.
Yeah.
And I don't understand the kind of, you know, we're better than thou approach that I keep hearing. And, you know, describing Audible as a centralizing authority when there was nothing before. So just because they happen to have spent a lot of money to get into a position where they – do attract a lot of business doesn't make them centralizing. It makes them a successful, caring publisher.
Well, it's almost like the viewpoint of the perspective that Dave has is that Audible is big media now all of a sudden, and that it's the entity the enemy, you know, and that's just not the case.
I always have to put down my glass of cognac to guffaw like a fat capitalist when I'm talking to Don on the phone.
I mean, you probably can't get any cooler than Don Katz, because the founder, because he's like Rolling Stone man.
Well, he's Rolling Stone. I mean, he's a cool guy, and he's got vision, and he's the one that really envisioned the whole concept of the digital media player, or the portable digital media player, the MP3 player.
It's like spitting on the pilgrims. It's what it is.
Yeah, it's spitting on the pilgrims.
I mean, they started. They're pioneers.
Yeah. You're right.
It would be almost borderline kicking them out of the country.
It'd be sacrilegious to ignore them. Taking one of those hats they wear,
yeah,
and crumpling it up and going, "Hey, you pilgrim."
Okay, Dave. Yo. You've been told.
well, you know, it's that. This is
now
the,
Jennifer
this is
Garner
the way it
was
goes.
Involved in this in some way, and then it would be a perfect situation.
Well, that's probably true.
I think it already is in his mind.
With James Spader and, you know.
Dana.
Well, then we want to write down some of the topics.
I wanted to mention something to you, too.
Okay.
We got a couple of emails, and we'll talk about that later in the show, about Dana actually talking about women or female issues online.
I didn't get any of those emails. You guys want to hear about women? Well, Jennifer Garner. We can talk
about her. That's not really what they're talking about.
I know
here,
what you're saying. Like back in topics the related ancient days, we used to, when women were like 20% online, you know, as far as a demographic, I felt like, you know, we gave always 10 minutes of time for Web Girl to talk about the women.
Yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that'll be resurrected. I don't know.
I remember the old days.
To be frank, you know, to be absolutely honest with you,
I used to have to read my computer screen by the fire.
I don't ever see a distinction between men and women. I mean, I role play men all the time.
I know, and that's kind of weird when I think about it.
Well, actually, there's probably less of a distinction between men and
women. Of course, it's
kind of
weird that I role play men, too.
And you're not so great at it, you know?
Okay, thank you very much.
So I actually feel really kind of weird, you know, talking about women doing things when really, I mean, let's just talk about the people that are doing things best, whatever gender they might be.
So you're like gender ambidextrous or something like that? You kind of go either...
Agnostic or, you know,
I don't want to think we want to use the phrase go either way here, okay?
Or ambidextrous.
Yeah, I don't very think that's
good. Ambidextrous is actually a fairly apt way of describing it, I think.
Coined it again. Do you think gender ambidextrous? Ambidexterity.com is available. Okay.
But you know, the thing is, there is the Blog Her conference coming up that is going to be a women's blogging conference.
Really? Writing this down.
And, you know, it's at least partly sponsored by the Media Center at the Annenberg Center at USC. Okay. And there are events, and there is a need for events to talk about how women can have greater efficacy in getting their view out there. Okay. No, seriously, I think they could.
But. Why is it necessary to distinguish women differently?
It's not necessary to make the distinction. It's necessary, and this is the mistake that liberals always make, is they always want to make that difference the important factor. Mm-hmm. What they need to do is understand the difference and then act accordingly in order to take full advantage of the difference and the opportunity that lies in it. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like, you know, if you all say, hey, we're going to get together and we're going to link to one another, the Blog Her conference, by being a networking event for a group of women to say, you know, we're going to link to one another more, they're going to amplify their own voices because of the social networks that spread out from their sites. You know, I mean, this is what we study at Persuadio. And if you do that, that gives them a higher
The mob rules.
Yeah. Well. No. It gives them a higher perspective in the, or, you know, higher place in the marketplace of ideas. Doesn't have to be for money. And so anyway, and I'm not making any sense here whatsoever. But you know, the thing is, just, you know, if you recognize that there's some things that are good about women and things that are good about men and differences about each, then put it all together and make a nice, you know, pie.
Mm-hmm.
But don't say it's got to be a man's pie or a woman's pie, or the pie has to be 7/10 male and 3/10 female, or, you know, that kind of thing. Just make some goddamn pie.
You know who was a good pilgrim, a good pioneer at the beginning of the internet for women? Danny Ash.
Well, in a way. I shook hands with Danny Ash one time.
Tell me the story. Yeah. I remember that. Danny Ash, by the way, was one of the first.
She's still there. She's Danny's hard drive.
Danny's hard drive. And characterize this site.
She's a porn person.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, she makes softcore.
She's a classy
girl porn.
Girl and girl. Porn way before performer. Cindy Margolis, right?
Well,
yeah, I think
Cindy's not a porn celebrity, though.
Yeah, she's more like a model. Pinup girl. She's like the Farrah Fawcett of the internet. Whereas Danny Ash is more like the
show it all, expose
Linda
it all.
Lovelace of the, well, maybe not, because of the deep throat. But, you know, I mean, anyway. But she has unusually warm, soft hands.
Oh, that's right. You shook
but
her
she's
hand.
Also a very good businesswoman as well. I mean, that's the thing that really stands out about Danny Ash is that she's such a very good businesswoman.
Very effective. But again, you know, she recognized where her strengths lay and not just physiologically. And took full advantage
of them. Mitch.
Yes, I don't think the women of the web will really want me to be expounding their virtues because of, obviously, I rather respect Danny Ash for what she did. some of the other things we're going to talk about on the show today.
I know, we could spend a lot of time talking about
next,
women.
Next, we're going to talk about
women online.
The Holocaust. It didn't happen. After that, colorblind? Heck no way!
So is this the Onion radio show? Let's talk about our topics. I mean, not that we haven't covered about half of our topics already. There are unconfirmed rumors flying around about a big podcasting announcement by Microsoft at GnomeDex in June.
We shall see what big really means.
Yes, we shall.
Hey, broadband is about to rise to dominance, or because it's in italics here, rise to dominance.
Our blog's creating a change in the national issue debate.
Stream ripping software creating upset music distributors.
I think, though, that Danny Ash has done some stream stripping.
What exactly is a stream strip?
You go up to Icicle Creek, take your clothes off, have a photographer.
I was thinking more like Naked News.
That's true.
But that's not
that's
stream.
A good one.
That was streamed.
Well, if you're talking about RS, real streams, reality.
Reality streams. Yeah. Okay.
Replay Radio, which is a neat new software, actually a software I've been using for
years. Old software.
Yeah, is releasing a new upgrade that we really like. Rob's on the phone with them for a couple hours this morning.
Yeah.
And we're going to play it all.
It's an expose.
So let's get on to the topics.
Okay, you were talking about Microsoft earlier, and you're on a conference call with Microsoft and some other digital types last week, right? Mm-hmm. And then you had an after conference call with someone at Microsoft, kind of talking. All I heard was podcast.
Well, I can't talk too much about all that, but it's it's safe to say that Microsoft has recognized that Apple has announced that they're going to be supporting podcasting within the new iTunes 5.9 version of their player software.
4.9,
excuse me.
So see, Microsoft goes, we have to be number two.
So and there's
let's be clear about what support podcasts mean. That doesn't mean that they're going to offer a podcast hosting and delivery service or anything like that. It just means that they're going to enable RSS enclosures in iTunes.
Yeah. That is true.
Okay, so is that a big announcement?
Well, it's big because they've recognized that it's an important thing for them to integrate into the player, I think, is the only thing that's
okay,
big
so
about
let's
it.
Now guess what Bill is going to announce.
I have no idea what Bill's going to announce.
I have three guesses. Mm-hmm. I should hold three fingers instead
there's,
of the two I was.
Mitch, there's things that Microsoft should be doing, and there's things that Microsoft will probably do.
So here's what I think they might announce. They will either announce RSS support in Windows Media Player, or they will announce secure RSS support in Windows Media Player.
For the WMA file format?
Yes, WMA file formats.
With enclosure, DRM, all that stuff. Okay.
Right. Or they will announce that they're doing a podcasting service in Spaces, the blogging service on MSN.
Sure.
That
one of those
one?
Three things.
That third one?
You know, like actually, you know, host and deliver your podcast and record it here and stuff like that.
Well, and frankly, they could be announcing the strategy to do all those things.
They could.
And it probably would not be tremendously difficult. The question that I have is, how long are we going to have to wait?
And then Bill will get up on stage at GnomeDex and he'll demonstrate it and we'll get the blue screen of death.
Well, and I think that
They're changing that to the red screen of death in Longhorn.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh, and Longhorn's going to be like red.
So it's going to be like a stop sign type effect. I mean, blue never really made sense to me.
Goes my vernacular.
Well, you know what happens is it lulls you into a comatose condition, and then you don't notice that your computer.
Well, it's
crashed.
Very geeky and cold, you know. So I mean, red it will be vibrant and will make you sweat more. I think when you see it.
That makes me feel good. But anyway, we're all going to be there, it seems like, at GnomeDex.
Yeah.
Are you going? Are you going?
Yeah.
Am I going?
I don't think so.
Is Jennifer Garner going?
Oh, I don't think so.
I had no idea you were going. That's like in a few weeks. Yep. June 23.
June 23rd through the 25th. I just couldn't pass up. I talked to Chris Perillo today.
Oh, it's in Seattle. So it's just a 30-mile drive.
Yeah. Well,
at the Bell Harbor International Conference Center, which, if I'm not mistaken, is a fine little facility down on the water.
Yes, and it should be a real barn burner of event, actually. The podfather of podcasting is going to be there, Adam Curry.
Adam's going to be there?
Yeah, and so is Dave Weiner.
He's kind of like the Jennifer Garner of former MTV guys.
I loved him back in the day.
Is he really?
I don't know, I guess. Based on the rising tone of Dana's voice.
Oh, okay. Well,
he's
Dana.
He's cute.
Yeah, I'll get his autograph for you, Dana.
Okay.
So, all right.
And Dave Weiner, who is not the cutest person.
No, that's actually.
I mean, he's a nice guy.
But he has power. And
Bob Cox on my interview with him for IT Conversations.
Dana made a certain look with her eyes.
Talks quite a bit about Dave Weiner at Blog Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Dave had a little meltdown at Blog Nashville.
Well, Dave is well known for his ability to become confrontational,
mm-hmm.
which is fine.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what was funny about it is that the whole session,
it'll be interesting to see.
The whole session that he was moderating at that event was about how to effectively deal with online conflict. He was the leader of that session.
That's a little ironic. But
just a little
it'll
bit.
Be interesting to see he and Adam, who are, you know, having their famous falling out.
Actually at the same event
at
together.
At the same event.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie.
Well, you should give them boxing
Paris
gloves.
Did this interview where she said, you know, Nicole knows what she did. I'm not saying, but Nicole knows what she did.
And I would see
and
Adam as,
not friends
as more of a Paris person.
Yeah, he might
hair.
Be. I don't know. I think Dave may be the Paris here.
Oh, okay.
Maybe so.
And I think Adam wears glasses, so Dave I don't think will hit him or anything. So, you know, you could give boxing gloves to each one of them and you could
– death
we
could, match.
We kind of see what happens up
and,
on
and
the
Bill
stage.
And Bill Gates could be the referee.
Well, yeah, he could be. He could be. It would be interesting to
– in this corner.
This corner. And Gnome Dex is at GNOMEDEX.com. GnomeDex.com. So if you want to check it out,
or
go check it out.
Or if you are a little challenged, GnomeDex.
GnomeDex. That's phonetically correct. That's right.
GnomeDex would, of course, be a celebration of a city in Alaska. It comes right after JunoDex. And
well, then Chris should hold his event in an igloo. That would be appropriate.
Jupiter. Right? Go ahead.
A giant igloo. Okay. Jupiter Research came out.
A giant igloo.
With a... Came out with a new couple of broadband reports talking about the rise in dominance of broadband. And that basically, when we say broadband, we're talking about cable, modem connectivity, and DSL service.
But I'll tell you, when the broadband puts on the high heels and gets out the whips,
look out.
That's right. Now we're back to the Danny Ash thing again.
All paths lead back to Danny, though, right?
Somehow.
Somehow we can make it happen.
I think we can if we put our minds to it.
Well, there's about 32 million U.S. households
Danny, you connected
to,
online, right?
To broadband in 2004, but by 2010, we're going to have about 69 million homes connected to broadband.
I think that's a very significant number.
I think it is, too. Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's the almost 300 million population? Well, of course,
that's households. About 105 million households
in
the United States.
And we'd be up to 69 million broadband? That's their forecast? That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's
a, but why 69 million?
That's a very good number,
oh,
too. I like that number. That's what I say. I definitely like that number. Yeah.
Okay.
We are so juvenile.
We're sick.
Because we've been isolated from the human population too long. Get
somebody unlock the studio door.
But the overall online population in the United States is maturing, is what the research came out saying, and is going to grow relatively modestly over the next 5 years. It's going to go from 75 million households at the end of 2004 up to 88 million by the end of 2010.
Households or people?
Households, I think.
Oh, that's the online population. I see what you're saying.
Online population.
So by 2010, 88 million people will be online, and 69 million of them will be on broadband. So basically – 3/4 of them will be broadband.
Be broadband, yeah, because this includes
not people but households.
Dial-up as well, and dial-up is actually
now,
going away.
The interesting thing is the households that either are not online or are still on dial-up will probably also be the most crowded households because they also tend to be the poorest.
That's true. Well, and this study also talks about the digital divide still exists. It's basically among seniors, kids, African Americans, Hispanics, mm-hmm. and lower income households, which falls exactly along with what you just said.
But speaking of seniors, they say actually that the graying of the internet, it'll grow much faster than maybe those other minority groups. So more seniors are going to be popping online. But I think that may just be because we're getting older.
I think so.
Yeah. And we're online. So.
Yeah, I think so too. But the other fascinating thing that's happening here is that DSL service is actually dipped below. Actually, I think it is Bell South has announced $15 a month DSL service.
Deal.
Which actually has put it below actually almost half the price of AOL.
Yeah, and half the price of having a phone line.
Yeah. Well, that begs another question.
Why are these people still using dial-up?
Well, and why do they have a phone line anymore? Yeah. They should just go voice over IP.
We're down. We had four in our home, and now we have one.
You used to have a T1 coming into your home back in the 90s.
Yeah, well, that was different. But now I have faster connectivity, and it's a fraction of the cost.
I love, what do they call that rule? It's the things get faster, cheaper, better.
Well, you're thinking of Moore's Law.
Yeah.
But this is part. This is a byproduct of Moore's Law. Okay. It's not actually Moore's Law.
All right.
Yeah, because Moore's Law tends to apply more to processor speed.
Semiconductor price performance ratios.
Which is going to continue to, I guess, keep
getting faster. And better, sort of like Moore's Law said.
Yeah, well, I guess there was actually a time when people were talking about that Moore's Law was going to peter out.
Yeah, well, that's why you're seeing this shift to dual cores, because for the time being, there is a limitation on what a single what you can do in terms of circuit.
Well, and it's because of heat dissipation and, as well.
How much you can get into a space. But by putting multiple cores and then building little, basically little mini mainframes out of multiple cores on a single chip, you can do a lot more. So they'll sustain Moore's Law that way and hopefully come up with some things that let them miniaturize even more.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
So. But also, you know, I mean, to the company that was going to do that, Transmeta, with their Crusoe chips, which are low power, high capacity systems, had to sell those to a Chinese company this week because they're struggling so badly. So it isn't necessarily a slam dunk that somebody is going to make this happen financially.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to see. That's for sure. Well, now let's talk a little bit about blogs. You made a blog post on your site at directiveblog.com. Blogs.
Ratcliffeblog.com.
And for those of you at home, it's not spelled with a G.
It's Ratcliff.
Kind of like Little Mouse.
Mm-hmm. Not like Gnome Dex, but... Ratcliffe.
Oh, I see.
With an E on there. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Because that would be Great Cliff.
Very new.
Yeah.
New
of me.
All right. Well, what did you write about? What little pounding finger?
I don't know. Rob is groping himself. I'm trying to figure out why.
He just grabbed his nipple.
No, I just felt something drip on me. So I was just wondering.
And there were sounds in
was.
The walls earlier,
yeah,
folks.
Yeah, there was. What is happening?
It's like this house has been taken over. It's the Exorcist house.
We have
the Amityville Horror
house. We have a raccoon that comes every night. I feed him on my back porch. He's taking food out of my hand now.
Yeah.
It's blind in one eye. That's probably what we heard in the wall.
Could have been.
Anyway.
Let's talk about blogs.
Talk about blogs.
We should.
I don't know. I mean, I think with the Ewok opening, this all makes sense.
It's all appropriate. It's all appropriate.
And you had an eagle fly, bald eagle fly right over the hood of your car today.
Thank God you didn't hit it with your windshield.
Yeah.
They would have thrown you in jail for that.
Served a little federal time for that one. Not that they shouldn't have put me away for many other things first. So we were talking about blogs.
Yes, we were.
Talking about blog influence.
Yes, blog influence. Are blogs having... a influence? Are they changing the whole landscape of
Let's not make the mistake of saying they're not, and simplifying it to that degree. But the Pew Center on the Internet and American Life found that blogs hadn't dramatically reshaped the 2004 electoral debate.
But they contributed to it.
But they did contribute to it. And I had posted something saying basically they looked at the occurrence of phrases across the web. When the occurrence of phrases isn't necessarily the right way to measure the influence of postings, which may not be – that may be pointing at other sites without using the same phrase.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they have to look at a different level of connectivity between people and ideas in order to better understand the real influence of blogs.
I have an idea. Let's look at Persuadio.
Well, right? That would be a way to do it.
Yeah.
But the – well, I mean, we weren't way ahead of the market to the point where no one's thinking of this stuff. But, you know, we've been doing the research on how people are influencing one another, and it doesn't necessarily relate to a specific phrase propagating across the net. It's a specific set of people talking repeatedly about a similar set of issues, and so that when you inject certain ideas into those channels, those ideas move really fast.
Well, it seems like that the term echo chamber certainly does apply to blogs, and I know that that term has been a little controversial about how to describe blogs because I think a lot of bloggers kind of take offense to that somehow they're just a reflective voice and not a leading voice.
Right, and at the same time they say, you know, blogs are great because we all have something in common, a common interest, and that's why we read one another and point to one another and all of that. And that is, you know, frankly, the description of an echo chamber to a degree. The thing is that we also talk about a variety of other topics.
Well, and you also expand on the subject. It isn't just talking about what was talked about initially, which is typically triggered in the mainstream media. Yeah. Actually, a lot more investigation or thought actually comes into the discussion. So it isn't necessarily probably an a direct reflection or echo. It actually contributory in its development.
Well, you know, what happens is that people talk about ideas, and those ideas take root in a wider population because they're trusted on other topics as well. And mm-hmm. so there's a background discussion that lays the foundation for any particular discussion. And that's what we spend a lot of time trying to figure out. The argument is that, you know, if you get enough bloggers together, they'll be able to cover the news better than the news does. And that is actually probably not the case because you're relying on sort of, you know, an organic system to produce what a managed system does today. And when I say managed, I don't mean in the sense of like close out the bad blogging people, but in the sense that they say, we really need to spend more time on the following story. Please go do more research. Mm-hmm. And you don't see that in a blogging collaborative environment.
Because they're all ADHD.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, but people say, well, I don't have any more time.
Yeah.
You know, sorry. Or, hey, screw you. I don't want to do any more. My report's fine.
Yeah. They need editors. Yeah.
That's a big issue. Editors. But, you know, behind this whole discussion is that the mainstream media, it feels threatened right now from blogs, but they really shouldn't be because blogs are not and will probably primarily never be a source of journalism per se.
Well, they will.
It's a source of discussion.
Mm-hmm. Some of them will. But what happens is they amplify messages in the mainstream media and spin them.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the really important change and difference is that they take this raw material and they say, well, you know, there's another view of this or this is wrong or this is right. And everybody who agrees with me will say that's wrong or that's right. And those ideas move rapidly through those existing networks of trust that we were talking about a minute ago.
Bob Cox, he's the founder of the Media Bloggers Association, said that, you know, his thing is it's got to be education about research and backing up your stuff. And so he's actually has an informal agreement with the Poynter Institute of Journal, you know, the journalism kind of thing. They're setting up like blog online journalism
training,
education.
Training.
Exactly. Yes. Is that whole conversation about the purpose of the Media Blogger Association. But the whole discussion, that we're having about blogs is kind of interesting because the mainstream media is thinking of blogs as a competitive element out there, but they really aren't. And they're all worried about it. And they're all worried about the fact that, you know, bloggers, you know, just don't have the credibility and that they don't research their sources.
It's a dollar thing though.
But at the same time, the major media is hypocritical about it because they're actually not investing in investigative research reporting as they used to in the past.
So yeah, you know what it's like? It's like the mainstream media is the United States in a globalizing economy. And they say, you know, we want everybody to buy stuff from us, but if we have to compete against them and our wages are going to go lower, we don't like that.
Yeah. So
I mean, interesting parallel, yeah. And so the bloggers are China and Japan and –
They're the emerging economies.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, well, it's just – because the Japanese, you know, did kick our ass once already. So
that's true.
Economically, folks.
Yeah. It's that Holocaust didn't happen thing coming back to bite you. No.
But the question
that was
is,
a joke.
It was a joke, everybody who just tuned in.
Is China going to be able to maintain the wall that it has up right now of content in order for them to participate in the world economy?
No, and that is, you know, that's absolutely bound to change. And you know, there are a number of books about how that is changing already that you can read. The World is Flat by Thomas Friedman. There's a very good book called The Pentagon's New Map by Thomas Barnett that makes the point that, you know, if we just invested in getting these regions connected, you know, all the ones that we currently go send troops to, we wouldn't need to send troops because they would feel invested in us and our shared safety and security.
There's a lot of financial interest in countries going to war, though.
There are, but there's an even greater financial interest in creating a robust economy that doesn't get destroyed at the infrastructure level by a war every 10 or 15 or 20 years.
So Bill Gates, if he were president, would put a PC in every little hovel, you know, in the
– that Bill would spend his entire fortune to become president of the world.
Yeah. But that's going to require our governments to think about things differently than they do right now.
I think our governments are – lost in space. But that's, you know, generally
Star Wars is probably where we're going next, right?
Well, you know, our government is more worried about cloning than it is about, you know, international
stem cell research. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, we should ban books and prevent things.
Jon Stewart on The Daily Show mentioned didn't he mention blog? Oh, no, he mentioned.
Well, he has mentioned blogs before. No, he actually kind of made a joke of it, actually. But that's all right.
It was General Myers saying, well, the terrorist blogs have told us. And he says, you rely on their blogs?
Let me refresh the generals. Oh, yeah. I just love that.
Yeah, that's right. Well, hey, I wanted to also mention that we had said that we were going to talk about stream ripping software and how that was creating a few music distributors to scratch their head and go, do we like that or not? And
I think the answer is going to be
no.
Replay Radio is coming out with an upgraded version, like we had mentioned, or actually we're about to mention a little bit more of. But the whole stream ripping thing is really starting to stir up some folks. But there's some attorneys that are saying that this is a lawsuit waiting to happen. All of these software programs out there like Replay Radio that are enabling the capture of music files off of these services. And the big question is fair use going to be challenged here? And I think it is.
Well, yeah, I think it is. I think you're going to see them push very hard to limit free use. But, you know, this is exactly what happened with cassette tapes and VHS.
Sure.
And, you know, I mean, every time we have a new recording system, the people who own content get all up in arms. And then finally they realize there's another, you know, reasonable business model.
That's like what Napster evolved into, you know?
Yeah. Well, no, in fact, that was the other guys, the counter guys realizing there was another business model and trying to go into that business. I have a difficult time imagining even a conservative Supreme Court, no matter how corporate friendly it is, saying we're going to take away individual rights to use content. And, you know, we can only hope that when this does get to the Supreme Court, because it will, that they don't, you know, that Justice Scalia isn't in charge.
One of the attorneys in this article was talking about the Digital Copyright Millennium Act and said that users have no right to duplicate copyrighted material from a computer hard drive, only from a digital or analog recording device, and then only for personal use and not for redistribution. Okay, when you look at Replay Radio as a software program, sure, it's using a hard drive, but it is creating a digital recording device. So, you know.
But for personal use.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't really see what the distinction is here. Sure, it says can't use a computer hard drive, but more and more people are using computer hard drives as digital recording devices, though.
Flash memory or something.
I mean, Windows Media Center is a classic example of that.
Well, when I move something onto my iPod, I'm violating the spirit of that. That statement.
That's true, because an iPod is a hard drive device.
Okay, I paid for it. That's the difference, is he says, well, we want you to pay for it first. Because if I paid him for it first, he wouldn't have a problem at all. So all we need to do is get to the point where there's a reasonable economic exchange going on.
Yeah, as long as the music companies make money on this.
You guys are so much like lawyers, you know, arguing the technicalities. But, I mean, the spirit of the law, the spirit of the thing is, like you said, if you just pay for it, then you have a right to use it. Fair use doesn't mean I can steal something and not have to pay for it.
I guarantee you that the record labels will not spend a lot of money on lawyers if they felt like they were getting some money out of this. And, you know, I mean, to go back to Audible as an example, I mean, the audiobook market evolved from being on tapes and CDs to being online very neatly compared to the music market, because Audible said, here's a reasonable way for you to get this content out. Now, I know there are people who say, oh, Audible only lets you make 3 or 4 copies or lets you play it on 3 different machines. But, you know, the thing is, all you have to do is call Audible and say, you know, my old machine's gone or whatever. It's not like you expired that copy. If you no longer have access to that copy, turn it back on. It's just a fair, simple way. Mm-hmm. And as compared to the music market where you've got, you know, iTunes charging 99 cents so that a 13 or 14 song album costs you more than a CD, audiobooks actually are cheaper when digitally distributed than they are on CD because there's no storage costs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because you have reasonable economic exchange going on and everybody feels taken care of.
Plus, there are no audiobook streams at Audible for Replay Radio to record.
There are.
Yes, are there
are. Really?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Sure.
You can listen to
anything.
Oh, you could.
So
okay. Yeah, I haven't.
It's relatively
easy listened to a book.
Break
well,
the,
you have to pay
the DRM thing. I mean, you
oh,
can.
Really?
No. Well, I mean, if you bought the book.
Yeah.
Well, you have to pay to actually get to the stream, though.
But then you can record it.
But then you could record it. But is that considered fair use by Audible?
if you gave it to somebody else, technically that would be fair use. If you did it in such a way that it was economically harmful to the publisher,
mm-hmm.
and that isn't necessarily audible.
Or that redistributing it is really what's harmful.
Yeah, redistributing is what's harmful because you're saying, okay, now there's no market for this because it's all been given away. That would be a violation of a copyright.
Yeah. But if you're just recording it for personal use and you paid for it to get to the stream,
no problem.
Then there shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, and technically that's what you do is you record the book onto your hard drive.
Which is exactly what Replay Radio does.
So now the website for – and you've been saying a lot of Replay Radio, but I want to say Replay Music Rocks and WMRecorder.com. It has a great little thing.
Well,
I'm sure WM streams.
Their new upgrade to the software is actually going to pull all those applications kind of together into one scheduling tool.
So the website is replay-radio.com?
Yeah, it's replay-radio.com. Actually, I think they're going to create a whole new domain name, but they're creating a podcast directory too that's going to rival Podcast Alley. So this is kind of a new thing that's coming on the scene here.
So many directories,
so little time. That's true.
Too much content.
But this
not enough content. Too many directories.
Okay.
This new software is going to make it easier for people to subscribe to podcasts and actually record streams. So,
I bet that's exactly what Bill Gates is going to say at Nomdex.
It's the direction that's happening. You know, I think that the big challenge that these podcasters have is making it easy on the listener to get to their content. And this is just another piece of that pie. And
yep.
I think if Windows Media can integrate it into the player and integrate it into the browser and make it easy for people to subscribe to the content, the more people will consume it. And you know, I think it's all a good thing. And
Audible's market is getting bigger.
Audible's going to support this area with professional tools as well and make it easier for people to get to this content as well. So it's all going to be good for us in the long run, and people won't have to worry about cut and pasting those XML URLs anymore around.
And a lot of other things.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Hey, we're going to get into some emails we got from – well, one email we got.
One email was directed towards you, so you should actually cover this.
So this one was from Jenny.
From Jenny.
She says, hi, I'm listening to your 5 May 21 broadcast, and I want to say that I would also like to hear more about women in the tech industry. Oh, in the tech industry, so not just women in general. And think Dana's idea about doing a 5 to 10 minute feature on tech women is a great idea. Okay, well, Jenny, you're my boss, so I guess I got to do it. Okay. Yeah, I'll do it.
I mean, it doesn't have to be a big thing.
You should go to the Blog Her conference.
Where is that?
It's in the Bay Area.
Well,
that'd be cool.
You're a significant blogger. You're a content producer online. You have a radio show. I mean, you're as cutting edge with this stuff as anybody.
I just started my first.
Let's interview Dana.
RSS feed this week on my on the news that I produce.
From
one of my sites. Okay, well, Jenny. Well, next time, next week. I'll have my own little web girl site. Should we resurrect web girl with the GRRL?
Well, we could give it a try, and if people object to that, I mean, I'm not going to change the name back to Web Talk Guys, but it's all right.
No, we don't want that. Okay.
Web girl can be here without the guys.
I think so. We can just leave, actually.
Hey, email us with any of your ideas, but you know what? I want to ask somebody, all of you guys, anybody listening that maybe feels so compelled to email one of us, tell us kind of if you enjoy our show. Just let us know, because summer's coming. We're kind of like thinking we're going to go hiking in the mountains, get a little outside activity. We're not going to be glued to our computers quite so much. We just want to know if you want to have more web talk radio or maybe go on a light summer hiatus schedule, right? Do we want to know this?
Yeah. Well, it's always good to get feedback. Most of the feedback that I've gotten up to this point is that more is better, not less. So.
Okay.
But definitely send me an email.
Fame is a hard mistress.
It is. Rob at webtalkradio.com. If you have any thoughts or opinions that you'd like us to talk about on the show, we'd be happy to do that.
Mitch, before you go, remind everybody where we can read it.
My ears were sweating. So I was
Because he's like undressing right now.
Here, I'll blow on him.
Tell everybody where
they can.
Please
stop that.
Well,
you can see me at ratcliffblog.com. Again, not spelled with a G, except at the end.
And Extreme Democracy?
The book Extreme Democracy is available now. You can order it online. There's a link on my site, or you can go to the extremedemocracy.com site and read the book for free, or order your own copy, in which, of course, you can make your own notes.
And it's a compilation of wonderful writings about all kinds of things about democracy from different
– from a variety of people, thinkers. From Joe Ito and Jim Moore to Clay Shirky and Valdis Krebs and John Lepkowski, my fine co-editor.
Very cool.
Thank you. And, of course, stop by MyDensity and map yourself.
And yeah, be sure to go to his blog.
Which is not spelled with a G except at the end.
That's right. And that's RadcliffeBlog.com, which actually I'm the one that told you to get that domain name.
Yeah.
Originally.
And now I have it.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
And I was very happy to see you deploy it.
And I still have Ratcliffe.com too. And about all
works?
I can do with that is, there's no blog there, but I could, of course, sell email addresses to every Ratcliffe on earth.
You could.
Yes.
You could. That's true.
I do get mail from people in England about that quite often.
Really?
Yes.
So your family roots go back to England, I take it?
Yes, that's where the name comes from.
Yes, yes. Okay. Well, thank you for coming in again, Mitch.
Well, thank you for having me.
For the umpteenth millionth time.
Everybody.
I mean, I don't know how many times you've been on the show.
I don't think it's been umpteen million quite yet.
It's, well, maybe half umpteenth million times.
Well, let's see. 7 years, 52 weeks. You've only produced about 36 weeks a year, so...
Hey.
36 weeks a year? Is that right?
I think you guys take about 20 weeks off a year, don't you?
I don't know if it's quite that many. Maybe 6 or 7.
Definitely
maybe.
Go to webtalkguys.com, go to the archive page, scroll way down to the early, early shows where we really sound bad, but you're going to hear a great Mitch.
That was back in the early days of streaming.
Oh, he would be so funny, and we'd edit in all these like great sound bites that complemented his...
Back when we actually did the show live in the studio, which was rather entertaining at the time.
It was Sunday. It was Saturday morning at 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning.
It was at 11 o'clock.
11? It felt like 4 a.m.
Well, he'd roll in at 5 after, with his
cup of
Starbucks
coffee.
It
was like triple espresso. Giant glass of coffee.
And be as brilliant as ever.
Well, sleepy because
he was always on.
Well, he just flew back from San Francisco. That was back when he was working for On24.
Yeah. May I also plug boston-legal.org and jamesspader.org, two sites with a ton of streaming content.
You do have a lot of streaming videos
on
there.
It's very entertaining.
And you walk that line of copyright infringement
very
well.
I was looking at the stats of visitors, and actually yesterday I saw one from Ustinka.com, so David E. Kelly Productions, someone from the Raleigh Studios was there.
And you also got a visit from the FCC today, too.
Yeah, today it was like the Federal Communications Commission came at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Now, you don't mean physically came to the house.
Nope.
You
no.
mean, let's just be clear about that.
Real-life terms, yeah.
They basically came to take all your videos off your hard drive?
Yeah, they were checking me out.
The FCC, is she broadcasting that dirty television?
All right, we are talking James Spader, so.
That's true.
The dirty television.
Secretary.
Well, Dana, that wraps up another show, Web Talk Radio again.
One more put to bed.
Yeah, we appreciate you tuning in and listening, and we hope that we contribute to your life and your online travels. Thank you for letting us into your lives, and we look forward to having you visit our website at webtalkradio.com, and we'll see you around the net.
This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcasts group. Find out more about this show and others at techpodcasts.com. Tech Podcasts. If it's tech, it's here.
Be sure to check out webtalkradio.com for many, many more conversations about the future of the internet.